It's a delight to be here. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are gathered and pay my respects to elders past and present and those who are here with us today. And I would like to talk a little bit about this guy, because he really doesn't get enough airtime. No one ever mentions him. And I feel really bad about that. So I thought today, because not enough is said about Donald J. Trump and how people went down, because really, it sort of surprised me, right? I mean, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe we all knew that this was going to happen. Do you remember that? Can you believe that 2 years ago, we had this rock solid certainty that this was the way the world was going to go? We were going to have another President Clinton. So there is something important that I need to say as I begin. I'm telling you the best. Humility, because I'm a journalist. Who knew? Who thunk it? It's really interesting to be with you here today to talk about elections, the one that happened in 2016, the midterm, everything that's happened in the United States, and of course the one we're hearing up for in 2020. And I'm here with you very recently. I see a little jet lag. The long haul from Los Angeles, and I arrived this morning. And one of the things that's great about that is it's kind of that direct from the U.S. They have that fresh injection of what it's like to be in LA. So it was fantastic just, you know, having my coffee here and thinking about my coffee yesterday when the people I was talking to said they're still mad about this because they really believe that Putin. Jaw-dropping article in the New York Times. I mean, just let me read this headline, ladies and gentlemen. FBI opened inquiry into whether Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia. This is from January of this year, and this headline concerns the President of the United States. 2 days later, the Washington Post. Trump has concealed details of his face-to-face encounters with Putin from senior officials in the administration. There is no other way to say this. This remains incredibly curious. Not only curious, the subject of an investigation that continues to bring charges, arrests, indictments, and questions, even as other major news continues to happen, like a government shutdown. From the beginning, this president has conducted matters differently. I remember where I was in January as he started this administration, and my phone rang from NBC. What up with that phone call to your prime minister there in Australia? So that was the beginning. And the whole time we've seen both internationally and the domestic arena, politics unusual. This is a president who has had a lot to say about how we in the media cover him and cover news. I hate to say it, I don't know if this is for your house, but in my house, sometimes my older daughter will say, Mom, that's just fake news. It's just like something that I've said. So fake news has become part of the parlance, and on the one hand, it's kind of amusing, and on the other hand, it's not amusing at all. We've also watched an administration that has had a huge degree of spin. Turbulence of turmoil, and have some really high-profile folks, like the Defense Secretary, James Mattis, step down amidst a lot of consternation and a lot of worry on the part of allies. One of the aspects that I wrote about in the CDEP piece that I wrote was about this important question of what is truth. The RAND Corporation talks about what they call truth decay, and I think that's an important concept. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we can't put all of this on the man who's in the White House. We have to talk about what all of we, all of us, have to do, what we can bring to the party in terms of making sure that we provide accurate information and also that we expect it and that we pass it on. Because if we don't have truth, we have declining trust in facts and institutions. an old-fashioned word for things that aren't true. It's lie. And this president has lied a lot. It's really hard to say that, but there, you know, that is the truth. The Washington Post and the New York Times keep track of this. The Washington Post, as you probably know, has something that they call their Pinocchio, which is kind of a cute way, you know, your nose is growing. But they invented a new category for people who have said things multiple times. So it's basically, you've been called out, you said that's not true. By the way, you said that's a lie, you just said it again. So they created a brand new category that they call the bottomless Pinocchio. So far, there's one person. Here's another aspect of life in America that has really caused a lot of consternation. You know, this is a report on it later from Penn State, but obviously the rally that happened, the Unite the Right rally that happened in Charlotte, Virginia. And I should mention, by the way, that I went to the University of Virginia. I'm an alum of the University of Virginia. I was just horrified. And that is of concern to many people. What does there's a very interesting study by the Atlantic where they took a look at some of the alt-right groups, and they did a study and a survey of kind of not just Twitter feeds, but a lot of the chatter that was going on. And intriguingly, they found that one of the things that they rally around is hashtag MAGA, Make America Great Again, and hashtag Trump. So in other words, whether or not he means to do it intentionally, Trump has become a rallying cry for the alt-right. And we have now a new leader there in Brazil. Of course, Brazil is a horrific economic and, you know, a lot of crime. But he's being called Trump of the Tropics. And then there's the wall. The wall has been something that has really divided America. And it is interesting to me, we were talking about it at our table before, but I find that in the United States, people don't want to talk about politics very much, except with their own side. It's as if there's teams, and you're on the red team or you're on the blue team. And I talked to so many people in the U.S. who said, this is a no-go zone. It's as if there's a DMZ, and they don't want to talk to members of their own family about these political issues. I got very interested in this, and I decided that I needed to go over in November and have a look at what was happening with the midterm elections. Because, and one reason I included so many slides in my presentation is I wanted to get a sense of the pace of this. I do not remember a president in my lifetime where the headlines spun so quickly. There was one thing after another after another. So I went to Texas, and I went there probably. I wanted to see what was happening in this big race between Ted Cruz, you see there, this is at Creekwood Grill in Cypress, Texas, where you can get fried pickles. And I encourage you to do so, just for the novelty factor. And there was a very vibrant, excited crowd on hand there to hear Ted Cruz, the senator. And this was one of the women that I interviewed there, and she made no bones about it. You know, she said that for her, Trump is not just a vote for Senator Cruz, she's voting for Trump. Her vote for Cruz is a vote for Trump. And that's what I see again and again in the United States, is as if Trump is a secular alpha and omega. And the individual candidates and the individual states and races across the country are like the inner, they're like, you know, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through the alphabet, but he's the good guy. Really, those state and local races are about, are you for him or are you against him? He's the litmus test. On the other side, and only about 5 minutes away from the Creekwood Grill, was this woman who I interviewed, who is on completely the opposite side. For her, it's about the dreamers. It's about deferred action childhood arrival, the children of people who came to the United States illegally, but their children have grown up in the United States, and do they have the right to stay? She's against the wall. So there's this divide. So there's a wall being talked about, and of course a new deal, smaller money, but a deal on it. But there's also, as if there's a wall in the United States. Now I want you to pay attention to this guy. There's another reason that I went to the United States to watch the midterm and pay attention in particular in Texas. Watch this space. This Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke, as he we head into 2020, when I was talking to the folks in Los Angeles yesterday, one of the things that I did was I met with some activists. And it was fascinating because I talked to a woman who was a former pharmaceutical marketing representative who was discussing with me the many times she's been arrested recently and how she feels about plastic handcuffs. So basically, she is now turning her smarts and her power and potency into civil disobedience, something she never anticipated before. And it's like, why are you doing this? And she said, it's activist therapy. So that's the new thing in LA is activist therapy. I also saw, and I didn't have a slide of it here, but I saw a fantastic t-shirt at the Cruise Rally where somebody, she showed me her t-shirt that said, "Go California, my Texas." Like, they know that California's sending in money. Because I said, it's all about Trump. Are you for or against? So who's this? Better will work. You've probably seen the news. You know that there just was a kind of a dueling rally. This didn't get to do with dueling rallies held in El Paso. You had the president in one, and you had better will work in another. This is one of the people that the Democrats are looking at as potentially somebody who's going to run. And when I spoke to one of these activists, she said, he's in, that's it. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm going to let the rest of them eat their young. I'm for better. So there you go. There's another fascinating factor that's happening. There has been a, with the kind of changes and the drama that there's been with this administration, with the Mueller investigation, with the talk of the wall, with the restrictions on immigration, all of that, with the Supreme Court, there's also been this activism, and it started, we saw it in the very first days with the March on Washington. And we saw it again in the midterm. And I want to show you two pictures. So this is the Republicans, right? So pay attention. These are the new Republican members of Congress. See, ladies and gentlemen, if you notice any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Anything? All right, let's go back. Republicans, Democrats. You don't need to see it. You see it. And that started with the Women's March. And you saw, so the woman who was telling me about her activism therapy, that is not some random situation where somebody's just, you know, that it is translating into candidates who never thought that they could run, deciding to run. Running, and because there was a critical mass and there were enough of them, many of them winning. There is still an issue in the United States, ladies and gentlemen, with gerrymandering playing out in a lot of the states, and you heard a great deal of conversation about it, particularly in Georgia with Stacey Abrams, who was very critical about what happened in that race, but nevertheless, that's something that happened. Now, let's talk a little tiny bit quickly about this new crop of lawmakers. Here's one. So we have Trump. I told you about Beto. I think he's only making time, by the way. And they're not actually waiting for Trump to nickname them. They're giving themselves nicknames. So this is AOC. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is from the Bronx. She's the one who's come up with the Green New Deal. I expect to hear a lot more about that in the next couple of days. And her dance moves, which actually have a little clip, but I've left it out for now. But if you haven't seen it, check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. But the reality is, you are seeing a very active, feisty, boisterous response to the president, and it's happening on both sides. And we're seeing it in fellow positions. I want you to know one thing. For the first 2 years of the Trump administration, basically the only person we really heard from was Trump. They're really, because the Republicans had control of a lot of different things, really that was the narrative. Suddenly, there's an opportunity to hear from more than one person, and we're hearing from the Speaker of the House. Very quickly, as I scroll through this, this is what you see at bookstores in America. This is soul searching. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is great. I think this is a wonderful aspect of being a democracy, thinking about where are we going? And the answer is, we're writing it as we speak. It is not that. I said before we got it wrong, but I did have a hint of what was coming. I wrote this article in May of 2016, so yes, in advance, President Trump had said we might need to get used to. How come I thought that? Long ago, in a country far, far away, I worked for NBC. That's me, with shorter hair and a lot fewer wrinkles. With Brian Gumbel on the couch of the Today Show, and here's one of the first stories that I covered. Yes, I went for the Today Show to cover the wedding of Donald J. Trump, not Melania, but Lala Maples. That was a pretty fantastic story, more on that another time. But here's me, that's the circle, that's me, very politely. And by the way, just note that we in the press were pretty much treated then as we are now. Notice, smushed back behind the ropes, you know? I want the coverage, but I want you all to stay in the box. And that is exactly how Trump still works. What's the significance of this? We knew that this was the guy who played by a slightly different set of rules. It's not entirely surprising to me, being that I was in New York for all those years, to see all that stuff coming up. But I want to tell you something. Do I think he's going to get fired? No. I think the question is going to be whether or not he will be reelected. I think the Mueller investigation is going to continue. We're going to get results. He said there's a whole lot that's going on. I write more about this. But I think the real question is going to be what happens with the race for 2020. And I actually think that is going to be a very exciting humdinger of a race. And I do not think it's done and dusted on either side. I think you're going to see there is so much. There's a kind of a solid, rested on, rock solid Trump support. It's not going anywhere. But every Democrat I spoke to, and I spoke to Democrats and Republicans, said we actually do not care who wins, we'll vote for them. We'll see if that's true. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a little bit of what's